What did you learn about Dakota history while you were growing up? Who told you?
Well, like I said, my uncles and my grandfather. My father was more into Christianity. As far as the 1862 conflict, my father only would call it the New Ulm Massacre. Well, who got massacred? Mostly the white people defending the town and Fort Ridgely. I did learn a lot. Some of my uncles would come to the house. It was a learning experience. I loved it, and I still do.
Did your father or your uncles have a relative who fought in the New Ulm battles?
Yes, this Louis LaBelle. He was my great uncle, Baptiste's brother. I gave you that picture, I think, of him. He was living at Fort Ridgely when the outbreak started in 1862. His name is Louis LaBelle. Under the direction of Henry Sibley, they formed a group of young Indian half-breeds to go and fight in the Civil War. And they were called by the name of the Renville Rangers. It was a group of Indians to help, like I said, fight. At that time, the war broke out, which was on August 16th, and they took a lot of these Renville Rangers, along with Sibley, to go down and try to put down the insurrection. And on the way, Louis LaBelle, my uncle, thought to himself, why am I doing this? Why am I going down there to kill my relatives? Consequently, he deserted. He went over and went to the Little Crow Band, and he fought in the battles, Birch Coulee, Wood Lake, Fort Ridgely, New Ulm. He fought in all those battles. And when they rounded them all up, he was one of them, the 350 to 400 Indians, and brought him to trial. He was convicted because all they had to say under this trial was, were you involved in this battle, that battle? All they had to say was, yes, you're guilty, you stand over there. Consequently, they made the list for 342 of them were condemned to die at Mankato. But they sent the list to President Lincoln. He reduced it to 38, actually 39. He sent it back. Louis LaBelle's name was not on there. He got a reprieve. But he did do 3 years incarceration at Fort McClellan in Iowa. He was not married at the time, so he didn't have to any wife or children to worry about. He did time there. He was released, didn't come to Minnesota because at that time all the Dakotas were banned from the state under direction of Alexander Ramsey. Took every Dakota Indian in the state, shipped them on a riverboat down to St. Louis, Missouri, and some of them boarded cattle cars and were taken west to the border at North Dakota in these cattle cars. Then they were put back on the riverboats and taken upstream on the Missouri to Crow Creek, where they were dropped off. A lot of them died on the way. A lot of them died at Crow Creek that first winter. Starvation, disease. There was nothing there. It's a barren country. Trees don't even grow there. How did they think these Indians were going to survive? They didn't care. You started this war, you pay for it. They were taking it out on the civilians, the little children, the women, the old people. And my thinking is, yes, to this day we can forgive, yes, but we never forget. We will never forget. I won't. And like I said, my Uncle Louis was a true patriot. He did what he had to do. He believed in his people, and he paid for it. He went to South Dakota. He settled at Sisseton Reservation, and he married a Dakota woman. They received an allotment from the federal government under the Dawes Allotment Act, which was in 1887-88. They were given 160 acres of land up there, and that's where he spent the rest of his life. And he was elected county sheriff of Roberts County while he lived there. In fact, I got that picture over there. Yeah, he died on the reservation, but he was quite a man.
Do you think he ever wanted to return to Minnesota?
He couldn't. Like I said, the Dakotas were banned from living in Minnesota. There was very few that stayed here. There was a group that lived along the Minnesota River, a group of probably about 200. They stayed in Minnesota. But they had to hide out in the cornfields. As a farmer seen them walking down the road, they'd kill them. They wanted revenge. White people wanted revenge. There's many stories about the movements of my people. The walk from Mankato to Fort Snelling, 1,400 Indians, men, women, children, old people, were made to walk from Mankato to Fort Snelling. This was in 1863. In the towns that they went through, they were greeted by rocks and bottles, and people would come out with pitchforks. And one woman came out with a tea kettle of boiling water and threw it on some kids. And one woman came out and took a baby away from a woman that she was carrying, threw it on the ground and stomped on it. Of course, she killed it. The woman picked up her baby and stopped up the trail and put it in the tree and said the prayers and left it there. This was the feeling that Minnesotans had against our people, and it's not good. They want us to forgive. Well, we do forgive to a certain extent, but we don't forget.